Blog Talk Radio.
Codex. Sleeping giants. Unchained lions. Unlocked cages. Men and women. Neutralized in stasis. Vaccinated. Fear mandated. Punished. Hated. Secret contract. Undebated. Perpetual part-time jobs. Slaves created. Wake up workers. Change the game. Full-time jobs for all, two-person crews. Respect and safety for you know who. Take control of your union. Make the sellout's head spin. Show the world how a real union wins. Organize now with her and him. Action. Wake up, you sleeping giants. Be defiant, non-compliant. Take what you deserve. No more silence.
All right. Looks like I had something to, excuse me, I had a little issue with my audio. That's what I get for not doing the feedback and listening on my headphones. So I hope you can hear me now. Call in and we discuss what's going on. I spent about 10 minutes there explaining all of the deeper issues of the violence at the CTA. The crime that we have is out of control. But time and time again, we see and we hear poverty influences the crime rates. We have a movie called Demolition Man, 1993, Wesley Snipes. He's a guy named Edgar Friendly, and he leads a rebellion against a society that has discovered complete bliss. Peace in the society, everyone's happy. The only problem is if you don't fit in with that society, you don't get to eat. Real simple. So he and his group start stealing food to eat at a restaurant. And you see that today. People in poverty often act in the same way. Stealing. Loitering laws. This influences the crime rate. And we see it, the facts, the Chicago Transit Authority, the crime rate. According to CBS News, I put the link in the description of the show. The history of violence on just the trains. 75% of it is robberies. Robberies on the trains. After that are battery, and after that is assault. There are little differences between assault and battery, okay? But we could put assault and battery together and say that's pretty much a third of all the crime. And then you have the sexual assault and homicide. You go from the year 2002 to 2022, that's 20 years. It's a steady increase. And what do we do when we look up the spending on war? See the same increase. The same. The Watson Institute of International and Public Affairs at Brown University breaks it all down. If we could just look from 2001 to 2022, you'll see the same growth. And most of the war spending, almost a third of it, is overseas. They call it overseas contingency operations. To make us safe, we're going to go bomb and maim other people in other countries to protect ourselves. But while we do that, we suffer. All right, we got some calls here. Let's let you talk here. 605-515-605-9885. Let's see who's on. Nobody's on. Okay. The last year around this time, one of our customer service assistants, a part-timer, he snapped. Tired of being a man, he snapped and shot a man at 95th Station. He lost control of himself. And the man who he shot was antagonizing him. And he had enough. Well, he's in jail now, still waiting trial. But then just the other week, another brother, also a part-timer. Both of these individuals have horrible pay and horrible working conditions. And they're dealing with people who are suffering. Worse, if not, he also lost control. Now, the rider's dead. So, do we just throw them out? They're murderers and violent. But as a union steward, I look at my coworkers as people just like me and could lose control of myself. And I think most of you at the Chicago Transit Authority on the front line, bus and rail, at times you may have lost your cool verbally, maybe not physically, but sometimes things can get really bad at work. And you just lose it. Is it right? No, it's not right. Can it be defended? No, but we need to help each other. And even when we mess up, we gotta correct each other. That where we work. Our union leadership generally works with the management or the mismanagement, and we just all, it's one, every man for himself. Every man and woman for himself. And so we start to break down mentally and physically. All right, we got someone on the line here. Bring you on board. All right, you're on the Chicago Area Transit Worker Radio Show. Good evening. Talk to us.
Hey, Eric, how you doing? Robert here.
Hey, brother. Thanks for calling.
So I just hopped in a couple seconds ago, so I'm unsure if I heard the question or the topic. Can you tell me real quickly?
Okay, sure. So really, I was just discussing about how stress at work can drive us to lose control of ourselves right there on the front line and sometimes say or do horrible things that we'll regret later. And how these types of things kind of, they contribute to the case that we had with Brother Emmett the other week, Brother Sylvester last year. What is your experience with that, and what why do you think things are going to get worse, or not? Will we lock them up?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Will be okay? Or?
Well, I don't think that's the answer either. But we need some these people. We need some mental health professionals or some type of partnership with mental health organizations to help these people that get on our buses and trains and sleep on our buses and trains and ride our buses and trains. And, you know, they just outlash at us, or they, you know, take out their frustrations on whatever. It's a complex situation, but I think that with the amount of money and power CTA has, they can definitely make it better for us. Yeah,
it's something else, because the CTA and ATU are like, yeah, go get counseling. They tell us, go get counseling. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
They're telling us to get counseling.
Love to use that EAP program. Just call EAP if you got an issue, you know. But we don't, you know, they only come around, those EAP counselors only come to the premises when there's a death of a member. They're not there all the time, every time. They're just there when something happens.
Yeah.
They need to be there all the time. You know, they need to have a permanent spot in each garage or each terminal.
And you know, my argument
anyway.
My argument is, hey, if we're all treated with respect at work, we got full-time jobs for all, people can afford their health care. You know, they're not worried about their deductible all the time. I can't afford this deductible. They're safe. They can do their job without rushing. Two-person crews, having two people at all times. These kind of things bring down the stress level, and they make it easier it makes it easy to enjoy work as opposed to dread it.
Right. Right. Absolutely right. And all of these things are not crazy, off-the-top, out-of-touch ideas. These are simple fixes that they can do.
Prevention, you know? Invest in people. It's common sense, really.
Yeah,
so,
sorry,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just talking about also how I was mentioning how the steady increase of crime on the CTA, according to a chart that I put in the description of the show, over 20 years correlates with the increase of spending for wars, and how we're spending so much money on wars, which are in other places, and totally neglecting everything here, it seems.
Oh, yeah. And the CTA is going right along with it, spending $100 million over the last year or so with private unarmed security that can do absolutely nothing, have no arresting powers, have no weapons, they have nothing, they have no radios, no nothing. Mostly teenagers making minimum wage, and it's just like a waste of money. You can see it You can see it with your own two eyes that it's just a waste of $100 million going down the drain. Now, I think that the canine dogs, I think that the canine dogs are a pretty good thing. But the private security, not so much.
What is it, but what do you, how is it that the being armed it makes a difference? Why do you say that?
Well, the presence, I think, two things. The presence of an armed security of the presence of an armed security guard, I think, would deter more people than the presence of an unarmed security guard. And two, we know that customers bring weapons on the trains and buses every day. So if there was something to happen, we wouldn't have to wait for CPD 30 minutes to an hour to get there. We already have somebody there that could defuse the situation.
Well, it sounds to me, though, that defusing the situation might be is the solution. Being able to defuse the situation, having people skilled in doing that present as opposed to guns, because if we have someone who's not skilled in defusing the situation and they've got guns, then we're going to end up maybe shooting people that shouldn't be shot.
But I think that this will be, like Paul Vallis said, they need to have uniformed Chicago police officers on the transit system, not unarmed. I agree with Paul Vallis on that statement right there. I mean, wouldn't you, Eric, wouldn't you prefer a Chicago police officer to come to your bus or train to handle a situation than an unarmed security guard?
If he's skilled at that type of thing, you know what I mean? De-escalation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if not, I've witnessed things that where they're pretty brutal, and it escalates the situation. You know what I mean? I mean, not all the time, of course, but you know. It's kind of like it's a difficult situation because, yeah, I mean, I don't like to see, you know, going into the station, going on the train or the bus, and you got somebody, you know, harassing the riders and me and the employees, the coworkers. You know, it's stressful and it's dangerous, but you know, I've seen security unarmed and I've seen police make the situation worse. So we really, I think, and then at the CTA, they're like trying to train us and how to, remember that poor training, you know, assess and react, whatever the hell that was. You know, it's like they're trying to make us like de-escalation security guards or something. It's just, it's sad because they're not investing, in my opinion, in the right thing. You know.
No, absolutely not. And after this COVID money runs out, they say it's going to be a financial catastrophe. So I think they should be better managing and using the money now while they have it. And the $100 million deal was just bad.
I see it at 95th. I'll head into work around 8 o'clock at night. And at the terminal, there might be 30 security guards right there. I don't know if they're getting off work. Maybe they're getting off work or something. And there'll be someone right in the doorway smoking weed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I see it too. When I work at 95th, I see I see people smoking cigarettes in the platform. I see people smoking weed in the platform, in the terminal. I see people making a little mini bench, sleeping there, homeless people sleeping there, three or four in the same area sleeping there. It's just kind of sad to see, you know, you don't want the homeless people being in the cold weather or whatnot, but it's, man, it's kind of, I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much housing available for people. You know, there's you can invest in helping people recover and start living independently so that they don't have to be homeless, you know, but that takes money, you know, and it seems like we're more willing to spend money on wars, prisons, and policing than helping people, and we get stuck at the CTA. We're just dumped on all the time.
We always get the short end of the stick. But I really think that people shouldn't jump to conclusions on this Blue Line incident that happened. I think there's more to the story that we don't know. We don't know why a co-worker acted out the way that he did. We don't know if the passenger did anything to him. We haven't seen the surveillance footage. We haven't seen anything. So we're just supporting him at this moment until we find out more information.
Yeah. And you know, I'm going to transition, if I got you for a little bit longer, wanted to transition a little bit to the benefits for us as CTA workers. You know, we have Cigna as our health care provider. And this month, this last week, I think it was, just earlier this week, Cigna, ProPublica, did an expose about how Cigna saves millions of dollars by having its doctors reject claims without reading them. And it saves them a lot of money on our backs. You know, when you have a health issue, the doctor recommends a certain treatment or a certain test, and then Cigna denies it. And you're stuck. You got to pay for it completely. Have you had any experience with Cigna in this regard?
I never had any bad experience with. I never had any bad experience with Cigna paying my medical bills, but I have had. Them denying to pay a bill that I felt kind of crazy. I went to a chiropractor because of back pain that I was having that was due that came from the job, and then they start questioning why I'm at the is this a necessary procedure or is this a necessary service, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, you know?
They were trying to deny paying the chiropractor because they didn't think it was a necessary service that I was doing. They just thought I was doing it just because.
They like to tell people what you have is not medically necessary. You know, so you were able to get that straightened out or not?
I had to have the chiropractor doctor fill out some forms that went into detail why it's necessary that I get the chiropractic treatment for several months.
It's just sad. It's just, oh, my God. They're terrible. They're terrible. So while I got you here, too, let me ask you, we got some stuff popping off with Local 241 regarding checks. Checks that are sent to members, can you or people that did work in the union office who are members? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we got a report that from our anonymous source that the receptionist at 241 local office got arrested for forging, for stealing the checks that were due due to the pensioners. She stole the checks and cashed them or deposited them in her bank account versus the pensioners, and she was arrested for that. She had about six identity theft charges and six forgery charges. As far as I know, as of now, she is out of jail. She got out the next morning. I don't know what her bail amount is, and we don't know what her court date is. But I don't think she's alone in this. I think that the other top officers definitely have some type of involvement with this. But the president put out a letter, a PR letter, to keep calm, telling members, oh, this is an isolated event. She no longer works for the union. There's nothing to worry about. We will get every dime. We will get every dime back.
Yeah. Very suspicious.
So we'll see how this turns out, but it should be something that the members should look into, and that the feds should look into. Because this union has a pattern of mismanagement when it comes to checks, whether it be fraudulent checks, stolen checks, or cash checks, or mission checks. They just have an issue with checks.
Yeah, they do. Losing stuff and stuff getting stolen. What about this this LM2, this reporting expenses? It looks like Local 241 in the year of 2022 had some very nice payments to some members. We had an election commissioner that earned $37,000.
Yeah, that's that was very surprising to me that only one out of three or four election commissioners got paid that much. All the other ones got paid $13,000 to $15,000, but she got paid $30,000. So that tells me that she paid to play with them. She helped them win the election. And she kept her mouth shut, and she looked the other way when she knew they were doing wrong. So she needs to be looked. Her payments need to be looked into, as well as we have somebody on there listed as a warden. When the members were never notified or told that this person was a warden, and he got paid quite a substantial amount of money as well. William B. Pierce, he was supposed to be assistant to the treasurer, financial recording secretary treasurer, helping her out with her job. But they don't have him listed on there as that. They have him listed as a warden. The members never saw him in that acting role. The members never saw him in the acting role as a warden. So it seems like he's getting some hush money, too.
And there's quite a few wardens that the local 241 and 308, they love to have wardens. You know, they pay them off, and to get him to walk around and act tough, you know, like some prison guards or something.
Yeah, some of the wardens told us that they were doing financial recording secretary's job. They were making copies and preparing books and doing all kind of stuff in the office that wasn't pertaining to their job.
Wow. Must be nice to get off work, you know, and get that money.
Yep, that's all it's about.
To make copies. Make some copies for $30 an hour.
That's all it's about with these fools. Less work, more money.
Well, we have been through a lot at the CTA this week and this year, and since the pandemic, it's been a struggle. Oh, there goes our power. So we'll probably have to end the show because I just lost my power.
Right.
Can you hear me, brother?
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap this show up. Thanks a lot for calling in, brother.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, bye-bye.